Perfect. Okay, now begins Perek Zayin. So let's look at Pasuk Aleph. Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael ma'al b'cher. So b'nei Yisrael, vayimalu. What's vayimalu? Vayimalu, I'm sorry, vayimalu. They me'ila, they desecrate. Right, they desecrate. They take that which is sacred, that which is holy, and they desecrate it. Vayikach Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Zerach lemata Yehuda min acherim. One guy, Achan, right? Achan. I'm sure some of you remember this story. But Achan, one guy, he takes some of the spoils for himself. He takes something, he pockets it. It's interesting that it mentions all of his ancestors, his father, grandfather. Usually we say that if it's somebody who did something wrong, we don't want to be misaches them all the way back. You know, we don't want to go all the way back because it's a little bit of a bizayon to his parents and grandparents. I don't know, the Mepharshim don't really talk about it here, but you know, be it as it may, the Pasuk does identify him very very exactly, precisely. Vayichar af Hashem b'vnei Yisrael. And God gets angry at the Jewish people. God gets angry at the Jewish people. Now, fascinating, right? Fascinating. So many of the Mepharshim here grapple with the fact that, you know, why is God getting angry at the Jewish people? What did the Jewish people do wrong? There's one guy, right? Everybody else, I mean, think about it. You have thousands of soldiers here, you know, going into Jericho, and everybody's following their orders. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And one guy messes up. You imagine, like in an army, you know, American army or Israeli army, you know, Lahavdil, you have one soldier messes up. What, are you going to punish the whole army? Punish the whole army? You know, so sometimes, sorry? It's not clear. It doesn't say how much he took, but whatever it was, he took something he wasn't supposed to. I don't know how much he took, but it's an amazing thing. So you know, so many of the Mepharshim here say, like the Metzudas David, for example, the Malbim also explains this way at first, and then he offers another interpretation. But the Malbim says, and I'm sorry, the Metzudas David says that, you know, we have a principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozeh, right? That all the Jewish people are responsible one for the other. That's why we know the principle of Yatza Motzi. Even though I've made Kiddush already, I'm allowed to make it again for someone who hasn't heard it yet, because if they haven't heard it, then there's something lacking in my obligation as well. I can still discharge that obligation. Right? So, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozeh. And basically, what the Metzudas David here in the Malbim say is that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozeh is not just a cute concept. Now, this is not just a cute concept. We believe, as Jews, that we are responsible for one another. Period. And that means if someone else does something wrong, and it's on my watch, so to speak, or I'm in proximity, and I could have maybe said something, or it sounds like even if you couldn't have said something, even if you didn't know about it, right? But if it happens in my company, then I'm partially responsible for that, which is a wild concept. It's a totally foreign concept in the Western world. You know, the Western world, everything is, listen, your business is your business, my business is my business, right? Don't butt into my business. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I do, and you do what you do, right? You know, live and let live, right? That's the phrase that we... You know, that's the expression that we say here in America, live and let live. In Judaism, it's exactly the opposite. It says in the Mitzvot of it, every Jew is a limb on the same body. We're all one body, and you have different limbs. So you're one limb, you're a foot, and I'm another foot, whatever, you know. We're not going to discuss who's which limb right now. But everybody's a different limb, right? And that's it. And, you know, you do one thing, so the foot does something. What are you going to say? The rest of the body shouldn't be punished? The whole body's punished. Right, a person steals something with their hand, right? So we don't believe, you don't just chop off their hand, you throw the guy in jail, right? You arrest them, you arrest the whole person. So too, says Mitzudas David, that's what the Jewish people are. The Jewish people are one body. Jewish people are one body. So there are some of Farshim that use this to explain why we have a losa, say in the Torah, of lo sikom velo sito. We're not allowed to take revenge. You're not allowed to take revenge, you're not even allowed to bear a grudge. Right, you're not allowed to say, listen, I'm gonna, right? We've talked about this in shul before. You know, you didn't lend me your lawnmower yesterday, so I'm not gonna lend it to you today. That's revenge, right? Or you say, I'm gonna lend it to you because I'm a nice guy and you're a jerk, right? Right? That's lo sito. That's bearing a grudge, right? You know, point out to the guy, give him a little zets, you know, as you lend him your lawnmower. So the Sefer Achinuch, I believe, says, you know, why? What's the nature of this losa? Say, why do we have this prohibition? The Sefer Achinuch says, because we're all one part of one body. Right? Imagine you're cutting something, right? You're cutting an onion, and you know, and the knife slips, and you cut your finger. So what are you going to do? You're going to now take the knife, and you're going to slice the other hand, right? You're going to punish the other hand. You're one body. So you did it. You're angry at yourself. You know, you did it. But so says the Sefer Achinuch, same thing. The Jew did something. He's like part of your body, Right? It's okay. You know, he did the wrong thing. Fine. But it's not, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen, so he made it happen through this guy. You know, he made a poor decision, she made a poor decision. But in the end of the day, it would have happened, you know, some other way. It's not, he's part of your body. So we see how far this goes, that here, even this person, one guy, did something wrong. And it could be probably, you know, even a lot of people didn't even know about it. Maybe some people, you know, nearby saw him take something and slip it into his pocket, or whatever the case is. But otherwise, you know, we don't know that other people saw it, but they're still held responsible. It's a wild, wild concept. You know, this is why there's a mitzvah of tochacha. There's a mitzvah that you're supposed to tell someone when they're doing something wrong. It's a mitzvah, right? It's a mitzvah. So, you know, it's not a very popular mitzvah nowadays. You know, nowadays you go over to someone, you tell them they're doing something wrong. See, either they're going to ignore you, right? Best case scenario. Or they'll punch you, worst case scenario. Or somewhere in the middle. You know, they're probably going to be upset. They're going to be defensive. They're going to get defensive. And even if you're right, right? Even if you're right, we don't like that. We don't like when people tell us what to do. You know, mind your own business. None of your business. According to the Mefarshim, this is business, right? Now we might say, listen, that guy doesn't have such good intentions. You know, he's not such a big tzaddik himself. You know, that's usually the way our minds begin to run. But it's an amazing, amazing concept that we see here in the practical.
Right. Yeah. It's only privately, never publicly.
Shouldn't embarrass someone publicly. And there's a lot of different halachos as to how exactly to do it. And there are some instances when you're not supposed to do it if it's only an issur de rabbanon and you feel the person's not going to listen to you. You know, nowadays we pretty much say that if you feel like someone's not going to listen, then you shouldn't say it. You know, there are very few people who are. I had a friend one in high school who was really good. He was excellent. You know, he had this way of pointing out when you did something wrong, and you didn't get defensive, and you realized that he's right. He was like a sweet guy, and he would just like kind of sneak it in. And all of a sudden, before you knew it, you realize, oh, you know, I did something wrong. So it's not, but it's uncommon for a person to have that skill, and usually it's a little bit more abrasive, and usually we get a little bit more defensive. And but there are some complicated complex halachos about this. Yeah.
It had the last pasuk in the parak, and I just noticed. The strange pasuk, the last one of the list.
Parak Vav?
By he Hashem Yeshua.
Right.
And don't we say, like, he be me'achas v'rosh, by he be hates, you know, everything is, you know, when you have by he a bad thing? Or a good thing?
I don't remember.
The Gemara said something.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember precisely. Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll talk about the last pasuk in a second, but not in that context. What, the last pasuk in the parak, you mean?
Oh,
no. Yeah, no, we did it last week, but right. No, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Anyway, the Malbim has a different type of approach, which is very. I was talking about this with my wife actually. My wife teaches Yehoshua. She's not up to this yet, but she teaches Yehoshua in school. So I was talking to her about this, and she said it's very Malbim-esque. You know, it's very Malbim-esque. This is a Malbim type of shot. So the Malbim says that when a person does something wrong, they will certainly only be punished. Only they will be punished, for sure, right? Nobody else is going to be punished for someone else's chait. Okay? And we have psukim in the Torah. Many of the Mefarshim also discuss these psukim, right? Lo yumsu avos al banim, you know, things like that. Lo yumsu banim al avos. You know, we don't kill someone because of something that someone else did, something that their father did even. So the Malbim says that he's not going to punish the rest of the Jewish people specifically. But what he will do, says the Malbim, is that he'll remove his divine providence from the Jewish people. If someone sinned among the Jewish people, one Jew sinned, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pull back. He's going to remove his divine providence a little bit from the Jewish people, and therefore he's going to leave them vulnerable to things happening. And if someone puts themselves in a situation of sakana, as we're about to read in the coming psukim, right? Some Jew puts himself in a situation of sakana, he might get hurt. He might die. Not because he's being punished for the sin that the other person did, but because there's a certain lack of providence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves you up to nature now, leaves you up to teva. We know in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashkacha pratis over the Jewish people, right? The rest of the world operates with teva. We, the Jewish people, we operate with lamala min hateva. Kadosh Baruch Hu has divine providence for us, right? And, you know, he moves the pieces. He's a little bit more intimately involved. But Kadosh Baruch Hu can also pull back a little bit. And if he sees that someone did something inappropriate, so he's not punishing the klal. He's just saying, I can't be here, right? I can't be among you right now in the same way that I was. And therefore, Hashem pulls back a little bit. He pulls back, so now he leaves them vulnerable. So now they're vulnerable to teva. They're vulnerable to nature. And he says, in that situation, somebody can get hurt who didn't do anything wrong, and the guy who did the sin, the guy who sinned, he might not get hurt because the punishment hasn't been given yet. One day he'll get punished for what he did, right? But in the immediate, right, in the short term, somebody else might get hit and not him. And it's not because he's getting punished and the sinner's not getting punished, it's just because there's a lack of divine providence now, which is an amazing concept. You know, that here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach so closely, and, you know, he protects us. You know, and we've all seen, you know, we look around our lives and, you know, we see this. You know, we see the Hashgacha Pratis, you know, so often in our lives. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if someone sins, I'm going to pull back. I can't be there. I can't be among sinners. I can't be among, in a group, in Bnei Yisrael, if there's someone who sinned. Fascinating, fascinating concept. And we'll see that Achan was punished for his sin, but other people got hurt also. It says the Malbim, that wasn't a punishment. Another fascinating comment on this first pasuk. The first pasuk really has so much to it. But another fascinating comment is from the Al-Sheikh. And the Al-Sheikh says that to really understand this pasuk, we have to look at the last pasuk, what Joe just quoted. The last pasuk in Perek Vav. Look in Perek Vav. What does the Navi say? Vayhi Hashem es Yehoshua, vayhi Shamo b'chol ha'aretz. God was with Yehoshua, and his reputation was carried throughout the land. Everybody was petrified. Right? Everybody was petrified. Now we're about to read in the Pesukim that what happens because of this sin is that the Jewish people go to battle. Right? Spoiler alert, I'm telling you a little bit what's going to happen. I apologize. But the Jewish people are going to go to battle. They're going to lose. They're going to lose the next battle. They won Jericho hands down. They didn't even fight almost. Right? The next battle they're going to lose. Okay? It's not going to be so terrible, but they're going to lose. So says the Al-Sheikh, what do you see from here? They were invincible. Coming into this Perek, coming into Perek Zion, Bnei Yisrael was invincible, right? Everybody was petrified. They were scared. They were shaking in their boots. They hear about this guy, Yehoshua, with Bnei Yisrael that just wiped away Yericho. The walls fell down. It was a miracle. They came through the yard and the water stopped. I mean, this is like, you know, people are trembling from the Jewish people coming. And all of a sudden, they're vulnerable. All of a sudden, the Jewish people go, they do battle, and they're going to lose. What happens the first time they lose? It's like Amalek, right? When they cool down the bath after Yetzias Mitzrayim. What happens? And everybody's like, ah, they're not so invincible. We can beat them, right? We can beat them, okay? So says the Al-Sheikh, what do you see is Bnei Yisrael's greatest vulnerability? Chet, sin. They didn't do anything else here. The only thing that changed from the last pasuk in Perek Vav, where they were invincible, to the coming Psukim, where they're completely vulnerable, the only thing that changed was one chet. And says the Al-Sheikh, you see the power of sin, the power of chet. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us because of the good things that we do, because of the mitzvahs that we do. But as we know, we've spoken about this before. How did the Jewish armies prepare for battle? Of course, they strategize and they prepare. But they daven, they fast, right? Things that are strange for soldiers to do. Because we recognize that it's not just on the battlefield. You have to do your ishtavos, you have to put in your due diligence. But it's not just about the strategy, it's not just about the battle, it's about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about how strong that connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Right, as we know, that's what people do. They daven, we daven. Yaakov Avinu, when he prepared to greet Esav, what did he do? He prepared for battle. He split his camp into two, just in case Esav's going to attack one, the other one's going to flee. He prepared. Right, but what else did he do? He davened. He prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, listen, I know that this is in your hands. And he says, the Al-Sheikh, you see the power of chet, the power of you know, a person can do tshuva. You know, and it's an amazing thing. A person does tshuva, it's really an amazing, amazing thing, and can put you in such a better position in the physical world. Right? In battle, you know, in the business, and whatever the case might be. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Hatzlacha when we have a strong connection. If that connection starts to break a little bit, some fibers in the rope begin to snap, that's it. We're not going to have the same Hatzlacha. It's an amazing, amazing concept, says the Al-Sheikh, that you see from the juxtaposition of the last Pasuk of Perek Vav and the first Pasuk here of Perek Zayin. Okay, so let's see what happens now. So Achan sins. He takes from the spoils of Yericho, and we know God is angry at the Jewish people. That's all we know so far. Comes Pasuk Beis. Vayishlach Yehoshua Anoshim Yericho Ha'ai. Yehoshua sends people, spies, right? He sends spies from Yericho, that's where they are right now, to this place called Ai. Right? Ayin Yud, that's the name of the city. Ha'ai is the Ai, to the place of Ai. Asher Im Beis Oven. It's close to the Mefarshim say im here with means it's close to Beis Oven. Mikedem le Beis El, it's to the east of Beis El. Okay, this is where he sends them to the city called Ai. Vayomer Alehem Lemor, Alu v'Raglu es Ha'aretz. I want you to go up and I want you to check out the land. I want you to check out the land, right? Spy for me. Vayalu harashim ve'iraglu es ha'ai. So the people go up, and they, these men that they see, these men that he appoints, they go up, and they spy, they go to check out this place called Ai. Okay? Now, I wanted to make copies, but I didn't have a chance to make copies. There's no way you're going to see this. But this is a map. This is in the Das Mikra Atlas. So I finally, I had this at home, you know, the whole time, but I finally brought it. So here, you see that here's the place where we're talking about. Here's Ha'ai, okay? And it's right near base, Oven. Okay, that's the place that it's right near. And it's to the east of Basel. Here's Basel, right? Here's Ha'ai. And here's Beis Oven, very close to Ha'ai. By the way, once I was looking at this map, you can see some of the things that we've been talking about until now. Here's the Yarden. Right? Here's the Yarden River. Okay, they cross the Yarden right here. Here's Gilgal. And if you remember, we talked about Gilgal. That was the place where they camped when they first got into Eretz Yisrael. It looks from the measurements here, it looks like it's about 5 kilometers, however much that is. But it's about 5 kilometers from the Yarden River. And then Yericho looks like it's about another 5 kilometers, approximately. About another 5 kilometers. Yericho is a little bit northwest of Gilgal. And then they're traveling quite a distance. If you look here, here's Yericho. This is where they are right now. Right? And they're traveling all the way to here. This is Ai. Right? So they're traveling quite a distance here to check out this city. And here are the other cities that surround it. Okay. So that's, we have a little bit of a geographical perspective here on what's happening. Now it's very interesting because, you know, the pasuk gives very specific markers for where the city is. You know, why do we care so much? You know, okay, I'm sure the spies needed to know exactly where it was, but why does the Navi feel it necessary to inform us, you know, the precise location? You know, it's almost like longitude and latitude, you know, exactly where this place Ai is. So the Radak says very simply, he says there was another city called Ai. So, we wanted to make sure, the Navi wants to make sure that you know which city we're talking about. We're talking about Ha'ai. And he says that's why it's a Hei Hayidia, Ha'ai. It's the Ai. This was a big city. The other one was a little bit of a smaller city. This one was a big city, and that's why it's called Ha'ai, and that's why it makes mentions the markers. It's interesting that the Malbim says, a little bit differently, the Malbim says that, no, the reason why it mentions these other cities is because Yehoshua was nervous that if they go attack this city called Ai, which is the big city, what's going to happen with the other cities? They're going to send reinforcements. They're going to hear the Jewish people, B'nai Yisrael, have come now to attack Ai. So now let's send from Beis Oven, let's send from Beis El. We're going to send other soldiers to go and fight against the B'nai Yisrael. And he says that's why in reality, what should have happened here, we're going to see how many soldiers went to fight Ha'ai, went to fight this place called Ai, about 3,000 soldiers. Okay, based on the reports of the spies, that's what Yehoshua sent. But the Malbim says in reality, they should have sent the whole army. The whole army should have gone. Right? 3,000 soldiers was just for Ai. But for they didn't calculate the reinforcements. And he says, if you look at the pasuk, what does it say? What does Yehoshua tell them? Vayomer aleihem lemor, alu v'raglu, what? Check out what? Es ha'aretz. He doesn't say Ai. He says the land. I want you to check out the entire neighborhood, the whole vicinity here. What did they do? Vayalu hanoshim v'raglu es ha'ai. They only checked out Ai. So they changed, you know, they didn't listen to Yehoshua 100%. He wanted them to check out the whole area, right? The whole vicinity there. They only checked out Ai, and they came back with their report about Ai, which might have been accurate, but they didn't take into account what Yehoshua was thinking with what about the other cities. So let's see Pasuk Gimel. So you see where this is heading. It's not heading in a good place, in a good direction. Pasuk Gimel. Vayashuvu el Yehoshua vayomer elav. So now the Meraglim come back to Yehoshua. Excuse me. And they tell him, Al Ya'al Kol Ha'am. We don't need the whole nation. We don't need the whole army. Right? It's silly. It's a waste of manpower. You don't need the whole... It's not such a big city. You don't need to send the whole army to defeat Ai. Ka'alpayim ish o kishloshes alofim ish ya'alu v'yaku es ha'ai. All we need is 2,000 to 3,000 troops. Send 2,000 to 3,000 troops and we'll defeat Ai handily. No problem. Right? And the Malbim says that either, you know, the Meraglim are even giving him an Eitzah. They're saying, listen, if you don't need the soldiers, don't send them. Right? You don't want to wear them out for nothing. So if we can conquer the city, if we can conquer this place with only 2,000 to 3,000 men, let's do that and leave the rest. Let the rest of the Chevra, let them rest up. You know, they can rest up. They can learn a little bit. They'll take some naps. and they'll get to recharge for the next battle that we need them to fight. But don't send them. It's not necessary. So what happened? Yoshua listened. Now it's interesting. Because they do say in their report, they do say Ha'ai. They do say, send the 2,000-3,000 soldiers, we'll defeat Ha'ai. Yoshua didn't catch on, apparently, when they gave their report. Probably because, you know, he was thinking, well, I sent them to check out all three of the cities. So I imagine that they did that. Right? When they say Ai, they're just talking about that's the center city and everything else is like peripheral. But I'm sure that's what they're talking. He didn't catch the fact that they only said Ha'ai. Pasuk Dalet. Vayalu min ha'am shama kishloshes alofim ish. So Yoshua, even his machmir, right? They said 2,000 to 3,000. Yoshua says, you know what? I'll send 3,000. I don't want to take any chances. I'm going to send 3,000 men. He sends 3,000 men up to Ai. And what do? Says the pasuk, unbelievable. Vayanusu lifnei anshei ha'ai. They flee. They get there. They arrive. They check in. They check their bags. And all of a sudden, the soldiers of Ai pop up, and the Jewish people are scared out of their wits, and the whole army, 3,000 of them, turn on their heels and take off back towards Yericho. They didn't even fight. It sounds like not even a shot wasn't even fired. You know, they just see this army coming from Ha'ai, and presumably you have also the reinforcements came from the other cities, and they said, uh-oh, you know, we're outnumbered here. We're only 3,000 guys. How are we going to do this? And they hightail it back to Yericho. Well, what happens? Pasuk Hey. Vayakum mehem anshei Ha'ai. Well, the people, the soldiers of Ai catch up with them. And they catch up with the Jewish people, and they kill, not so many, Baruch Hashem, and they kill kishloshim v'shisha ish. Every Jew is precious, every soldier is precious, but in the grand scheme of things, this was 36 soldiers. It could have been a lot worse, right? Of the 3,000, I mean, the army could have been decimated. So they killed 36 men, vayirdufum lifnei hashar ad hashvarim, and they chased them from the gate, from the gate of Ai all the way until this place called Shevarim, which many of the Mefarshim say was only called Shevarim because that's where the Jewish people were broken. Right? This is where the Jewish people suffered their first defeat. But now you saw we're broken, that's why they named this town, this place Shevarim. Vayakum Bamorad, they were heading downhill, they were going into a valley, and that's where they killed them. Vayimas Levav Ha'om Vayi Lemayim. So says the Navi, what happened? The people now, the whole nation of Bnei Yisrael, they look up and they see these soldiers, you know, hightailing it back to Yericho, you know, in a panic. And all of a sudden, the Bnei Yisrael say, oh my gosh, we thought this was going to be so easy. Right? Look what happened. And they're telling them, you know, we didn't even fight. They just scared us to death. They killed 36 of our men. And now the Jewish people, petrified. And it says, Vahila Mayim. They're like water. Like their hearts just like melt like into water. Now the Radak, it's fascinating. He says that this was really Hashem's mercy that only 36 soldiers were killed. Like I said, it could have been a lot more. He says, why were only 36 killed? So he says, in the Schus of Avram Avinu. Why? Because Avram Avinu, if you look back at the Chumash, he built a Mizbeach right near the city called Ai. He built a Mizbeach between Beis El and Ai. And therefore, in the merit of that Mizbeach that Avram built there, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm only going to let 36 soldiers die. Chazal say that, why does it say Kishloshim B'Shisha? It says like 36. So many of the Mefarshim say it's lav dafka doesn't mean like, it means 36 die. But Rashi, the Radak, I'm sorry, quotes Chazal, who say that really only one person was killed. Who was that one person? Ya'ir ben Menashe. Ya'ir, the son of Menashe, he was the one person who was killed. So why does it say like 36? It says because he was the equivalent of 36 members of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, we know, had 71 members, right? So 36 is the majority in the Sanhedrin. Okay? So he was the equivalent, in his greatness, he was the equivalent of 36 members of the Sanhedrin. And he was, that's what the Pasuk says, Kishloshim Meshisha, Kishloshim Meshisha. The Malbim also works with this, but he says that, he says they really did kill 36. It's just that one of the 36 was Ya'ir. So it's a machlokes, how to understand the Chazal. Does it mean that only Ya'ir was killed? Or does it mean that Ya'ir was one of the 36 and he was equivalent to 36? It's a question how exactly to understand that Chazal. Now this is fascinating. If you look at the pasuk, what does it say? So he says the Radak quotes a drash. He quotes, says there appears in a drash Chazal. I guess someplace give this drash. He says, "What did Hashem say to Yoshua? Hashem said to Yoshua, Ata tanchil, you are going to lead the inheritance. You're going to lead the charge. Where was Yoshua here?" Yeshua stayed back. Yeshua didn't go out to war this time. So says the Radak, in the name of Chazal, this is why they were defeated. It wasn't just because of Achan's sin. It was because Yehoshua wasn't with them. And in fact, one of the Mefarshim say that Yehoshua, I can't remember now which one, that Yehoshua was like the chariot for Hashem's Shekhinah. Hashem's Shekhinah was with Bnei Yisrael. Yehoshua was the chariot. He was the one, he was the vessel, the kli, that held that Shekhinah. If he went with the Jewish people, they would have been matzliach. They would have been successful. But he stayed back. Atotanchil. I said it's going to be you. It's going to be on you. You stay back. No promises. Right? Then it's going to be up to Teva. You don't have my Shekhinah in the same way. Fascinating. He says that's not the Pashup Shot. Obviously, the Pashup Shot is that they were punished because of the... whether they were punished or just there was no Hashgacha, but it was because of the spoils that Achan had taken. Okay. Why does the Pasuk end Vayihi Mayim? That it's like water. Their hearts melted like water. So the Al-Sheikh says, you know, sometimes you have things that will congeal. They'll melt. They'll congeal again. You know, it's like, it was like chicken fat. You know, so you have a pot of soup. Soup cools off, so all the fat, you know, congeals at the top. Or you have a dish of chicken, all the fat congeals. You warm it up a little bit, what happens? It melts again, right? It melts, look at the fat. So he says water will never on its own melt, right? I'm sorry, water will never on its own freeze, only if it's subject to freezing temperatures. Once it's water, it's done, unless you do something to it. But it's never going to naturally go back to its original state. So he says that was the heart of the Jewish people. The heart of the Jewish people, they were so anxious now. They were so scared, so petrified about what just happened, that there was no return. Right? They were not going to regain that confidence, he says. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayila Mayim, it was so powerful. Pasuk Vav, what's Yehoshua's response? Vayikra Yehoshua Simlosav. Yehoshua tears his garments. He rends his garments. Excuse me. Vayipola upon of Arza. Excuse me, Lifnei Aron Hashem. He falls down on the ground. He prostrates himself before the Aron Hashem. I don't know, Erev, the whole day. Right, so the whole day he now prostrates himself, davening to Hashem. Not only him, Huva Zikna Yisrael. He and all the other Zikanim. Vayalu Ofer Al Roshem. And they place dirt on their head. Excuse me. So says the Al-Sheikh, why do you tear Kriya here? Why Kriya? You know, people don't tear Kriya every time a Jew dies. It's sad, it's terrible. You know, maybe Tamid Chachamim, you tear Kriya, your Rebbe, family members. So the Al-Sheikh says he tore Kriya because of Yair ben Menashe. Because of the greatness of Yair ben Menashe, he was either the one who was killed or one of the ones who was killed. So he says that's why he tore Kriya. Why the prostration and the dirt? Right, prostrating himself on the ground and putting dirt on their heads. So there he says that the implication is that he was telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like we're dead. You know, the Jewish people, it's like you just killed us. You know, you just killed all of us. You totally knocked the wind out of us. It's like we're dead and we're buried. Right, that's why he prostrated himself, put dirt on their head. It's like, you know, we're done. We're absolutely done here. Now Yehoshua davens. Excuse me, listen to this chutzpah. Wow, look at this. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Yehoshua. Yehoshua says, "Aha Adoshem Hashem." He says, "My God, Aha is like an exclamation." Lama hevarta haviras ha'amazes hayarde. He says, "God, why'd you even bring us over? Why'd you have us cross the Yarden in such a miraculous way?" Well, say so, son of Yadha Emori lahavidenu. You want to just kill us at the hands of the Emori? That's why you did this. Veluhu alnu v'nivaneshem ever hayarde. Listen to this chutzpah. Yehoshua says, you know, it would have been better had we stayed on the other side of the Arden. Why'd you even bring us over? You just brought us over to kill us? You know, what's this all about? Wow. So the Al-Sheikh has a whole cheshbon here. And he says that Yehoshua was worried that maybe the people were being punished for their sin at Shittim. What was Shittim? Shittim was when the Jewish men sinned with the Midianite women. And who stepped up to protest? Pinchas, right? Coming up. Pinchas ben Yoyah, right? So Pinchas stepped up to protest. So Yeshua's nervous. You know what? Pinchas was the only one who protested. No one else said boo. No one else protested. No one else said anything. So maybe the Jews are being punished. Maybe Bnei Yisrael was being punished for that, for not doing that. And for not protesting. Maybe even himself. He didn't protest. But he says, God, he says, if you're punishing us for Shittim, why are you doing it here? You should have punished us for Shittim back in Eber HaYarden. Had you done that, everybody would have said, okay, we understand why God is punishing the Jewish people, because they sinned at Shittim. But now you take us into Eretz Yisrael. Now you punish us. What does it look like? It looks bad for you. It looks like you don't have the power to help us defeat the Amori here. Right? You're weak. Kaviyachol, right? Chas v'shol. Not even to say such a thing. The Metzudas Tzion quotes the pasuk in Parsha Shlach. He says, what do the people say to Moshe? To Aaron, in a couple of weeks, we're going to lane. Vayilonu al Moshe v'yavi al Aaron, kol b'nei Yisrael v'yomra aleihem kol ha'eda, lumasnu b'yaretz Mitzrayim, or b'amidbar hazeh lumasnu. People are dying after the Meraglim. Why'd you bring us here? Yeah, you want to kill us? Kill us in Mitzrayim. Why do we have to schlep all the way here for you to kill us? Exactly. Right.
Moshe never said anything like that.
Beautiful. Look at the next pasuk. It gets even worse almost. Look at the next pasuk. Says Yehoshua, Bi Hashem, Ma Omar Acharei Asher Hafach Yisrael Oref Lifnei Oivav. Okay, whole question, what this means. What's Bi Hashem? In me, Hashem. He says, what am I going to say? The Jewish people just turned their neck, on their enemy. They just fled. Right? They turned around and they ran. They fled. So the Alshech says exactly what Joe just said. He was Mechavet. Joe was Mechavet to the Alshech. The Alshech says, Moshe was always very respectful. He wanted to daven, Va'es Hanan El Hashem. Right? At least that's how he started off. Sometimes, Moshe got a little sharp also, but never quite to this extent. Va'es Hanan. He pleaded with Hashem. Yehoshua is Chutzpedik. It's Chutzpedik. Okay? Now says the Alshech, here he changes his tone. Pasuk Ches, he says, Bi Hashem. He says, listen, Hashem, I understand. He kind of toned it down a little bit. He realized that he was a little bit too chutzpedik, and he tones it down a little bit. He regrets how he says it. He says, but listen, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm in such agony over the pain of the Jewish people. They didn't even fight. Right? They didn't even fight. What did they do? They just turned around and ran. They just fled. Look at the Jewish people. Right? Look at the spirit of the Jewish people. Look at the morale of the Jewish people right now. It's in the toilet. It's done. Right? He says, I'm in such intense agony and pain because of this anxiety of the Jewish people, I can't control myself. I'm sorry. I know I'm being chutzpedik, but I can't control myself. Yeshua's like almost, the Alshech says you can't blame someone about how they talk when they're in intense pain. people in such intense pain, they're going to say whatever they're going to say. You can't blame them. How can you blame them for such a thing? Excuse me.
Is it a harsh word to be on?
No. So according to the Alshech, it's something soft. He's softening his tone here. It's a softer tone. It's a softer tone. Sorry? Oh, right. Well, he quotes Avram? Oh, so maybe that's it. Maybe that's Avram. Memdalim? Oh. I think it's Yosef and his brothers. I think Yosef and his brothers. I'm sorry. I think it's Yehuda to Yosef. Biadomi, I think. Have to check it out. Okay. Now it's interesting. He says that maybe Biadoni, according to the Alshech, he says maybe Biadoni is that Yeshua was saying. Excuse me. That part of the blame rests with me. Part of the blame rests with me. Why? Because I didn't go with them. Yeshua says, I understand. I messed up. Right? I botched this. I was supposed to go. I was supposed to lead them into battle, and I didn't go. And that's why I feel so badly. That's why I feel so badly about what happened. The Metzudas David also says here, excuse me, sorry. Metzudas David also says here, that Yehoshua was desperate at this point. Yehoshua was just, he was so upset, he was so forlorn over just what happened to the Jewish people, almost in desperation. He just, the Malbim says also, he says that maybe, the Malbim says the defeat itself wasn't so bad. He says maybe it was because, naturally, we only sent 3,000 soldiers, so of course we lost. I understand that. He says, but naturally, now we're never going to win. Because once the soldiers' morale is down, once the soldiers, their spirit has been affected, what happens when soldiers have no morale, when soldiers have no spirit? They're done, right? Even if at first they were supposed to be victorious, there's no way they're going to do it. There's no way they're going to win. Excuse me. Okay. Let's see Pasuk Tes. So Yoshua says, what's going to happen? The Kanani, everyone in the land is going to see what happened to us. They're going to surround us. They're going to wipe our name off of the planet. It says, what's going to be with your great name, Hashem? What's going to be with your great name? Some understand. Rashi says that we say Yisrael, like the name of God and the name of the Jewish people is spiritually bound up. If we're wiped out, Yoshua says you're going to be wiped out, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? This is not just our problem. This is your problem also. Pashup Shad Rashi says is that people will just say that, hey, you know, this God is weak. He can't do it. Right? Look, you know, he took his people into Eretz Yisrael, and he can't finish the job. Look what happened. You know, they got wiped out. The Al-Sheikh says, actually fascinating, he says, this is why Yoshua is so chutzpahdik. Yoshua says, I'm not being chutzpahdik for me. I'm not being chutzpahdik for the Jewish people. I'm being chutzpahdik for your honor. Look what's going to happen to your honor. Look what's going to happen to your name. Look what's going to happen. You know, you're going to be considered to be a weak God. You're going to be considered to be a God that there's nothing to, no backbone to. Right? You're called the God of Yisrael. If you don't have, if you're not going to be there, what's going to be? You know, you're going to be nothing. The Malbim says along the same lines, the Malbim says Yeshua is telling God, you're only known as a great God because we're a great people. We're your nation. If we're not great anymore, you're not great either. Right? So this is really all on you. It's, by the way, if you think about it, it's an incredible responsibility. Right? It's like we bear the responsibility of all of Kavod Shemayim, all of God's glory. You know, we bear the responsibility on our shoulders. That's quite the responsibility, you know, in terms of how we act and what we do out in public. I was thinking maybe this is why people are so sensitive. You know, you have Nachman Litzon, someone does something wrong, it's plastered all over the front page of the Times, a Yid, you know, with a beard, and he looks Jewish. And we all feel pain in our hearts over this. Why? Because we recognize the responsibility. We recognize that it's our job in this world to promote Kavod Shemayim. Right? It's our job. If it's up to us. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Everybody's going to think the God of the Jews, nothing. Right? If we show the world that we're special, if we show the world that we live to a higher standard, people are going to say, oh, the God of the Jews. Right? But if we show that we're a bunch of lowlifes like everybody else, and we steal and we cheat and we do everything else like everybody else is doing, so then what's the God of the Jews? He's no better than anybody else's God. Right? He's no better than anybody else's God. So it's an incredible responsibility. And everybody makes jokes about the camp Musar Shmuz before they go to the mall. You know, you're going to the mall, you have to make a Kiddush Hashem, you know, and everybody, it's the pre-mall Shmuz. You know, the pre-trip, everybody, you know, Jude, you know, the camp's going on a trip, you have to make a Kiddush Hashem. It's so true. You know, it's so true. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Aaron Feldman was the Rosh Yeshiva. I mean, almost inevitably, his shmuz would always end up talking about the glory of Hashem, Kavod Shemayim. That's what we're here for. We're here to promote Kavod Shemayim. Everything that we do is a reflection on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we do something good, it's a good reflection. If we do something bad, Rachman al-Tzan, it's a bad reflection. That's our position in this world. It's a great responsibility. But that's what Yoshua is saying. You know, you are us. You know, your reputation rests with us. If we're in the dumps, you're in the dumps as well. Let's do one more pasuk and then we'll conclude. Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua, kum lach, lama ze'ata nofel al panecha. So God says to Yoshua, get up. Like, what are you prostrating for? Get up. Okay, what does this mean? So Rashi points out that kum here is written kuf mem, come, right, which is in the past tense. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, number one, Rashi says that maybe it implies that, listen, your tefillos, they were accepted. You know what you just said? I understand, I appreciate it. Your tefillos were accepted. Come. That which you said, you know, stood up. That which you said is very worthwhile. Rashi says another interpretation, though, come, that this whole problem is really only because you stood still. You were not active. You didn't go with the people. You didn't lead them into battle. You were come. You stood still. And that's why this happens. See, also the power of the leader. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, in today's world, you know, things happen. You know, the captain has to go down with the ship, right? The captain of the ship, he can't bail out first. If he bails out first, you know, it was an incident a couple years ago. A guy got arrested, I think. Right, the captain got arrested, or you know, some ship there was an accident.
The ferry,
Staten Island ferry. Yeah. Right, the captain got arrested. Why? Because he bailed first. He said, "I'm out of here." Right? What kind of captain are you? You're the captain of the ship. You got to lead the charge. You got to take responsibility. You don't just bail out first. Yoshua, you're leading them into battle. Right? David HaMelech was the greatest warrior. He led the Jews into battle. He led Bnei Yisrael into battle. We don't sit back. All the other kings, they sit in their throne room, and they say, you know, what happened on the battlefield? That's not the Jewish kings. The Jewish kings go out and fight. That's what we do. The Radak says, why does he say kum? He says, now is not the time for tefillah. You know, now is not the time for tefillah. Why? Now is the time to destroy the cherem. That stuff, the spoils that Achan took, go find it and destroy it. Fix the problem. Don't just daven. Don't just talk. You know, and there's also an important lesson. Sometimes in life, you know, there's something to do. And what do? And we daven. Now, davening is always great. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message is, you can't just daven. Right? If there's a problem that needs to be fixed, fix the problem. Right? Roll up your sleeves and fix the problem. You could daven also. You know, daven while you're fixing it. But don't just daven and forget about fixing the problem. And then finally, the Al-Sheikh says that, I'm sorry, Rashi says this pshat. He says, it says, kum lach. Why does it say kum lach? You get up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, this whole thing is your fault. Not your fault because you didn't lead them into battle. That's also true. But it's also your fault because, keep in mind, going back to Perek Vav, who made this whole prohibition of taking the spoils? Yeshua made this up. God never said this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said to Yeshua, tell people not to touch the spoils. Yeshua made it up himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is your, according to Rashi, this is your fault. You put a prohibition in place that caused Achan to sin. This is your bad. Right? Kum lach, this is your bad. And you see the responsibility. You know, sometimes a leader has to be so sensitive to where people are at. Sometimes pushing them too much or putting on too many restrictions sometimes can backfire. Sometimes is not good.
So for violating this restriction, which according to Rashi,
will
do to Yeshua, someone should die?
Yeah, well, again, however you understand it, but yes. Yeah. No, because once he's sanctified, it's kadosh. Once it's kadosh, you can't mess with it. Well, no, because it's spelled Kuf Mem instead of Kuf Vav Mem.
Nobody knows that Achan took anything, right? But they don't know.
Oh, okay. I mean, well, right.
Right.
I mean, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say it in the next pasuk, but you know, we're not going to do. We don't have time for pasuk Yudalef. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say it, so it sounds like you know people did find out or Yeshua knew. Okay, but we'll stop here for tonight. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up next week with the rest of Perek Zayin. Shkoyach to you. Sorry for the.